I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Luke's massive storytelling podcast thing. Whoa, yeah, here we go. Check it out now. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Luke's massive storytelling podcast thing. My name is Luke and this is my thing. Today is going to be an interview episode. I'm really quite excited today because, I mean, I managed to get a guy called Paul Coles. Paul's actually from my hometown of Mansfield, which is in the Midlands. And Paul is an indie game dev guy. Paul used to work for sort of massive companies like Rockstar and Activision. He's worked on some pretty cool games, like he's worked on Red Dead Redemption, and it's pretty amazing stuff. And games, although we've not really talked about games before, I'm a huge gamer. I love sort of the indie game community and mindset. And as a, you know, as a storyteller, it's going to be going forward. It could play a big part in sort of what we do as writers. I mean, the games industry, if you weren't aware, is like 10 times the size of the film industry, so the likelihood of you making a living in the future as a writer is you're going to get more chance of it. You're going to get more chance of making that happen in the games industry. So today we're going to talk to Paul Coles. He recently started his own game dev company called Fierce Kaiju, and it's they sort of focus on VR and that sort of thing. But we'll get into that. I didn't have him for very, very long. He's a very busy guy, so I tried to sort of get it all under like 10 questions in half an hour, in like a half an hour period, but I kind of lost where I was with the questions. You'll hear that as we go through. But yeah, hope you enjoyed the interview, so tune in the other side. So today we're going to do a quick fire round through some questions. So question the first, who are you?
Okay, my name is Paul Coles. I am a video game designer, have been for many years now, and I'm creative director at Fierce Kaiju.
Okay, so that leads on to question two. Who the hell is Fierce Kaiju and what do they do?
So we're an independent video game company. We've been going for just over nearly a year and a half now, and we specialize in VR games.
Cool, So your VR games in particular, and your first game was a game called Viral, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, yep.
Cool. So what was Viral all about?
So Viral is, it's about this computer system that's been invaded by a virus, and you play the part of the antivirus taking down all the viruses within the system. It's quite a simple game at its core, but it's also quite a lot of fun. You literally point your head in the direction of the enemies, and you tap a little button on the side of the headset to fire a shot straight out in front of you, and it's really quite a compelling little title.
Yeah. I've seen the trailers. It looks really good. I really want to play it, but I don't have a Samsung yet. I'm actually thinking of getting going Samsung just to get the Gear VR stuff. It looks really fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. Were you an Apple user before then?
Yeah. Yeah. My wife still uses an Apple phone, but I moved over to the Samsung Note 4 to get onto the VR stuff, really.
Yeah. Previously, you worked for some big game design companies or like Rockstar and Activision, is that right? Or is that, how does that work?
Yeah. No, yeah. That's correct. Yeah, I worked at both Activision and Rockstar.
Cool. And so I was just going to ask, how come you started your own game dev company rather than continuing to work for those sort of bigger companies like that?
So, well, sometimes these situations are kind of forced upon you a little bit. Mm. And that kind of was the thing that fueled our move into independence, really, for want of a better wording.
Have you found it so far? Do you prefer being independent?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's incredibly tough. I won't mince my words with that. It's being independent. There's challenges in either, when you're working at a big company, but there's so many more challenges when you're an independent team. Not least getting food on the table that being your number one priority, and also, being able to produce compelling games is not an easy thing to develop. It's absolutely what we want to do. We love being independent. The freedom it gives you is incredible, but obviously you have to be mindful of what you can achieve with much less budget and likely a smaller team.
Yeah. What's the, how long did it take from concept to publishing a game? What's that time cycle look like?
Again, that all depends on the scope and scale of your project.
Yeah.
Some games can be done in a matter of months, and bigger titles can take years. So Viral for us, for example, it was about 6 months.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer. But ultimately, that's how long it took, all said and done. We actually got content complete pretty early doors. But obviously, there's a degree of polish and a degree of bug fixing that goes on top of that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Bigger things take, your AAA products take, 2 to 3 years sometimes, depending on what they are.
Yeah. That leads on nicely. So I was just going to ask, what does the next 5 years look like for Fierce Kaiju?
Well, it's an interesting one. We absolutely want to focus on VR. That's where our sort of love lies now. We've learned so much in, the little time that we've been up and running, that we just want to put it to good use. We're good guys. We've all got a good pedigree. We know how to make great games. And for the next 5 years, we just, I guess, want to continue making great VR titles, proving that games can be done properly in VR.
Are you just going to stick solely to VR then, or have you got plans to...
I'd say never say never, because, we're all gamers and we all love games. We still play on our, PS4s and our Xboxes and, our mobiles. So if something comes to our minds that we all feel passionate about, I don't think we'd ever say, right, we're never going to do that because it's not VR.
Yeah.
If one of us comes up with a really strong idea and we all believe in it, then there's absolutely no reason why we should pursue that, as long as it makes financial sense for the company to do so.
Yeah. So like a sideline question to that, what do you think the indie game scene looks like in 5 years' time? So are we going to be playing VR on the tube in London, or could you see people playing on their phones all the time? Do you think they'll get the headsets out?
I don't think so. I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
There's obviously an elephant in the room when it comes to having a headset on you. And you do look a little silly with the headset on. But it's... When you're in those games, you don't care.
Yeah.
It's like when you're sat at the end of the night and maybe you've finished your shift at work and you get home and you stick, your Xbox or your PlayStation 4 on and you jump into a game.
For the most part,
nobody there with you.
It's the you want the fully immersive experience there, don't you? It's not like when you're on the tube, you play like a little puzzle game while you're checking, you're not going to miss your stop. But this is like a chill out in the evening, sort of get your beer out and sit down and enjoy. Yeah.
I think so. But then I also think that there's space for this to happen on, I don't know, say you're on an airplane and you've got an 8-hour flight in front of you or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I can absolutely see that people might want to use VR in that respect. But whether it'd be on a train, I don't know.
Yeah, also like kids in the back seat, sort of to keep them busy. There's loads of ways you could use it. A lot of my listeners are sort of writers, screenwriters, filmmakers and that sort of thing. I think a lot of them probably want to know if it's possible for them to make an indie game. And by them, I guess I mean anyone. I mean, how does one get into it?
Yeah, absolutely. It totally is. One of the big things, that's the whole point of indie games, right? You can build an indie game, whoever you are. It's all about resources and it's all about the time. And if you've got the inclination to do something in your spare time and build it over, X amount of months or years, then all power to you. I know people do this and it's amazing. And I love seeing the results of that. So if if the people that are listening are interested in doing so, by all means, I'd love to see them do it.
What sort of resources could they get hold of to help them?
I would recommend looking into either Unity or Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah.
That's kind of they're becoming almost industry standards for independent developers these days. You know, there are other options, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of resources in terms of YouTube videos or training material that's easily accessible for those two sort of engines.
Yeah, there's Udemy, the website, and there's a course on there for Unity. I think I picked it up for like £9, and it's like epic.
Yeah,
like it's about 200 hours or something like that. But the only game I've managed to make so far is like a text adventure,
which is cool.
Yeah, it's quite funny. See,
I need to see.
Yeah, I'll send over. It's it's not quite on the same level as Viral. I'll tell you that. Although you could make a text adventure VR game. I don't know how that would work.
You know what? I think that'd be a really cool thing to do. There's so many cool ideas that can be explored in VR. That's what's so exciting about it. Making games in VR is not like making traditional video games. It's massively different. So one of the big sort of misconceptions is, you know, if you're talking to people that aren't maybe that aware of what VR is, they probably sort of think of maybe, you know, Call of Duty, your Battlefield, your big sort of AAA titles, your GTAs, and think, oh, I can just be in those worlds. Now, that's true to a degree, but it doesn't really work like that. So, like, traditional controls, for example, don't really transfer very well to VR. And we have to approach the way we design our games in a totally different manner with when we design VR games. So something like a text adventure based in VR presented in a really unique way might be quite an appealing thing to see. I'd love to see that. I think it could
I'm
work.
I'm actually just picturing it now, and I can imagine it working quite well.
Yeah, it could.
Just sort of have the different sort of text sort of in different areas away from you. Do you know what I mean? Spatially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. I watched a talk you did. It's on your website. I'll link up to that as well. You talked about the importance of emotion in game design.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that? Sort of, can you go into a little detail on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It exists no matter what sort of games we're playing, right? There's always an emotional reaction from the player that whether it's playing sort of a match 3 title on your mobile or whether you're playing big grand adventure on your console at home. There's always some sort of emotional attachment to the title or engagement to a title, should I say. With VR, that is massively sort of put into focus. There's a couple of demos that are doing the rounds now. I'll name one, which is Sony's The Heist, where you're sort of sat in a seat in front of a Cockney gangster, shaven head, white vest, cigarette in one hand, and he's right in your face. It's quite an intimidating scenario.
Yeah.
And if you saw that on something on your PlayStation or your Xbox, you know, you'd still feel it. You'd get the intimidation. You'd kind of get it, and you'd understand what's going on in that situation. But in VR, that situation feels so much more real. It feels like this guy's in, you know, staring down into your eyes and your soul, and you can kind of, you know, some people might want to just slap him. Some people might feel a bit afraid of the guy. And this is what VR brings to the table.
Yeah, so in I'm going to link to that as well, The Heist. So are you like the getaway driver or something in that? Or
So The Heist is, I mean, I don't know what they're doing with the full game. They've got a demo that you can, it's widely available on YouTube and stuff that you know, you can go and see what it's all about.
Yeah.
But the scene that they've been showing off is you're a sort of a jewel thief, I think is the what are you doing? But you basically end up tied up to a chair with this guy trying to get some information out of you in this dark, dingy sort of cellar or basement or whatever. And it sort of builds up from there, and you get a little shootout and stuff going on, but it's really compelling stuff.
Cool. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
So in terms of that, so what is your favorite story that isn't a game? Like, so film or comic or book or anything like that?
The Killing Joke is one of my all-time favorite comic books.
it's the Batman storyline.
Yeah, and it's an obvious one, but it is one of my favourites.
Just trying to remember how that one ends. So that's, which one is The Killing Joke? Because I might be confusing it with Hush.
No, Hush is, yeah, they're obviously different. The Killing Joke is the one where Batman and Joker end up laughing with each other at the end of the book.
Yeah, that's when he shoots Barbara Gordon.
That's the one, yeah. It's Alan Moore wrote it, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty brutal story, but the way that the relationship between those two characters is built up through the comic is incredible, and it really struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's another passion of mine, comic books. I'm a bit of a comic book geek.
Have you ever thought about getting into indie comic books?
Yeah, I'm actually writing some of my own at the minute. So.
Oh, cool, man. Well, we're, like, me and some of the guys who I write with, we're going to be sort of looking into crowdfunding and doing a few indie comic stuff next year. So, if you, I don't know if you want to help out or get involved, or we could find artists or something like that. Have you got an artist in mind?
No, not at the minute. I was just focusing. It's kind of an aside to the rest of the stuff that
I
did.
Yeah.
It's more of a bit of a pet project. But by all means, I'd love to hear what you're up to.
Cool. I'll send some stuff over.
I'm certainly no expert. It's just a passion.
Same as those. I think we all like love sort of writing and stuff. We've never dabbled in comics yet. So I think next year is our time to give it a go.
Sounds good.
Cool, man. So what does your ideal work day look like?
So that's a big change of, becoming independent, sort of, and your own boss. It's difficult. Is it an ideal day or what I do actually do?
maybe tell us what your ideal day is, and then maybe talk about what happens that.
I'm a bit of an ideas man myself. So I love, getting the concepts of our games down, sort of fleshing all the meat of what our games are going to be. And building that up, and not only just in, the features of the game, but, the backstory, the story. And I work with the guys on this as well. This is not just me doing this on my own. We've got a really, talented team that know great games themselves. And that's what's cool about Fierce Kaiju is we're so inclusive with the way that we build our stuff that, for me, an ideal day is going in, sitting at my desk, building out a game idea with the rest of the guys. There's nothing better than that. And that's, it's so, I mean, you guys must know what that's like, right? You sit there and you write stories and.
Yeah. It's when you come up with something that you're really happy with, you like fist pump the air.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a nice feeling, I guess. So what happens then? What disrupts that?
What disrupts that? Well, general sort of running of a company, the tax side of things, the logistics of setting up a company, those things can get in the way. Certainly happened a lot with me whilst working on Viral. We were setting up the company at that point, so a lot of my time was taken up doing all that sort of that side of things, and other guys had to help out doing stuff that I probably should have been doing in some instances. That's independent development for you. It's hard, and you have to do things, you have to adapt and do things that you're not usually used to doing.
Yeah. What's your big dream for Fierce Kaiju? Like what would you, when would you say this is that we've made it? Do you know what I mean? Like, when would you say this is it? This is what we're aiming for.
That's a good question. I want Fierce Kaiju to be in a position where we're making games, and we've got a decent sized team, and that's not a massive team. Just, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 guys, something like that. And we're making games and they're all pulling in wages and we're all enjoying our job. For me, that's success.
Yeah,
it's doing what we want to do on a day-to-day basis is success, and I think that it's obviously success is earning money as well, but the money is, I don't have to say this without sounding like a bit of a hypocrite. We want to earn money. We want to be successful. You have to do that to be a business, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we do love games. We love the art form of it. We love we know how to make great games. And that's what we want to do every day of our lives.
Yeah, you're not making games to make money. You're making money to make more games. Is that
exactly?
Cool. So we've actually burned through these questions pretty quickly.
That last point, though, we certainly look up to, and this is me personally. I don't want to speak for the rest of the team, but I personally look up to companies like such as Naughty Dog and Valve, where they've built fantastic games and IP. From pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
And they've come out of nowhere and they've become successful. And that's kind of, they're the people that I hold up as a sort of yardstick, if you like. That they're kind of, they're the heights that I want to get to. I think that they're probably a little bigger than I'd ever want us to get.
Yeah.
They obviously have a lot of staff. But to have that sort of association with quality.
Yeah. I absolutely adore Valve. Like, I think the culture, like, there's just something so unique and special about them.
So that's another big thing. That's the culture is really important to us at Fierce Kaiju.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that, you know, you've probably heard that video games have this sort of crunch culture where, you know, you don't see your family, you work until silly o'clock, you eat junk food until the early hours. You know, I've been there, I've done that, but we don't see that has to happen, right? That's a choice that's made by certain people or a situation that's put on people by others. And we want to avoid that. That's not to say that we won't have a crunch, because sometimes that happens, and you know, we try to avoid that as best we can. But, you know, it's more about having a really nice environment for you people to work with. And people want to go home, they want to go see their families. And if they go and do that, they'll feel recharged when they come in the next day. So that needs to happen.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are basing that assumption maybe on like Indie Game the Movie or something, where the team meet guys are sort of doing that crunch before the release. They look so ill.
Well, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, with no disrespect to those guys, it's the tip of the iceberg. You know, I've been at some places, and I'm not going to name names or anything. I don't regret anything I've ever done. But the hours that people work in the games industry can be pretty intense and pretty tough. You know, they can change lives, sometimes for the worst. But, you know, when you're younger and you're driven by creating great games, it's not so much of an issue. But as you start to get a bit older, you know, and you get a bit more tired of these situations.
Yeah, and you've got a family now, right? So you've got a little one. How many kids have you got?
Two girls,
exactly, yeah. So the last question, well, I've got this last question, then I've got a bonus question. The last question was, what question should I ask you about game dev that I haven't already, that like my listeners might want to know?
Well, I sort of expected something more about the story element. So the story side, and how I maybe saw the importance of that, or, you know, whether that would fit in the VR, sort of how I saw that fit in the VR.
Okay, yeah. So here's a question for you. How can you see story and writers sort of fitting into the world of VR?
Well, I think it's going to be massively important. I don't know if you've heard of a thing like Oculus have done recently called Henry. And if you haven't, go check it out. You can see sort of videos of it. Obviously, you don't experience it because it's 2D video, but they're massively into storytelling in VR. And it's so engrossing that it's got to be done. I'd love to write a VR narrative and experience. And I, you know, one day I hope to do that. But, you know, honestly, my talent is game design. And I don't want to force my ideas onto people when there's plenty of people out there that actually, you know, write this stuff to a massively high level.
Yeah. So can you see there being like indie VR films or anything like that? Or
absolutely, there will be. And I, you know, I'd encourage people to start looking in those directions, because I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunity in that space.
Wow. Cool. Yeah, man, that's great. I mean, the bonus question was, who is your favourite person with the name Luke Condor?
Yeah, Luke Condor is my person, definitely.
Oh, nice one. You didn't have to say that. But
it's just a given, right?
Yeah. Cool. I mean, this is great. I mean, personally, I think me and any sort of modern writer, we just want to get involved in whatever is happening. And I think get indie game development, VR games, everything. We just sort of want to know how we can, you know, I think we all just want to do everything. I think that's probably a problem.
I totally appreciate that. I don't want to speak for you guys, but I'm, like I say, I'm a comic book geek. I love media. I just soak it all up. Movies, comic books. I love that stuff. And I'm sure you guys are similar. And that's how I get my inspiration. Storytelling, you know, whether it's game design or whether it's movies or comic books, it's inspiring stuff, right? You read that stuff and you feel, you get up, like you say, you fist pump, and it's like that's what makes me get up in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's the same for you guys, and I think that you're right to consider all those different opportunities, and you absolutely should do. And like I say, I encourage you guys to look into sort of VR storytelling. It's going to be big, no doubt about it.
So just a quick question that's come to my mind, what is your favorite game? I didn't even ask you.
That famous question. You know what? It's like asking somebody, you know, what their favorite color is, right?
Yeah.
It's almost an impossible question to answer. I have so many favorite games over the years that I don't think I could ever fairly say that one game is my favorite. I'm a big fan of the Metal Gear series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of, obviously, the classics, the Marios, the Zeldas. I play everything. You know, some people see it the other way around. They don't like to play everybody's things because they want to be inspired by whatever comes into their own head. I search for inspiration. I like to be inspired by other people's work. That doesn't mean I want to copy it. It just means that I play these things and I feel, yes, I feel, you know, I feel charged up by it. And I don't think I could ever pick one thing out.
Yeah.
The favorite thing I've ever done, before viral, obviously, was probably Red Dead Redemption. Obviously, that wasn't just me. There was a massive team making that game.
I love that game as well. It's one of my favorite games.
It was a great game, no doubt about it. It's certainly the one I'm most proud of on my CV.
There's a game that, although technically isn't VR, it was so immersive for me that it almost felt like I was sort of inside the game, was the first Portal. You know, right at the end where the cake is a lie moment, and you feel like you're breaking the game.
Spoilers.
if people haven't played Portal by now, I don't know what's wrong with them. But that moment when you feel like you teleport off the platform and like you feel like you're breaking the game. And for me, that was the most immersive moment I think that I've had in games.
Agreed.
But thanks, man. So I mean, how can people follow up on Fierce Kaiju and you, and what's the best way to stay in touch with you?
So I'm on Twitter, you know, at Paul Coles, and the Fierce Kaiju's on there as well, at Fierce Kaiju. We're on Facebook as well. Just search Fierce Kaiju on Facebook. You can find us on there. So feel free to look us up. You can visit the website, www.fiercekaiju.com.
Well, I'm super excited to see what you guys come up with next. I mean, what's the, have you got some plans to release anytime soon, or what's the schedule look like?
So we've got a couple of prototypes in our back pockets. Some really, I can't talk about it, unfortunately. But it's, you know, as soon as I can talk about it, Luke, I'll give you a nudge. And I'd love to talk to you guys about what we're up to.
Cool, man.
But yeah, there's some, I hope you guys will be pretty impressed with it.
I'm sure we will be. Cool, man. Well, I know you're a busy guy running a company, so I'll leave you to it. But thanks for doing this.
What a lovely man Paul is. So yeah, I'm going to stay in touch with him. You should definitely check out Fierce Kaiju and check out Viral, the game. It's really interesting and it's crazy the world's going the sort of technology. So get in touch, Luke of Condor at me.com, or tweet me at Luke of Condor. It's Condor with K. And I'll see you very soon. Alright, bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.